Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I am Jeremy Jackson, the host. Josh Yellen is leaving to go pick up his daughter from space camp or dance camp or something. He couldn't remember what. Some sort of camp. But he's going to be there for her. So I'm running the host with my friend Bubba Wilson at the 15th Annual Sports Medicine Update. Me and Bubba are about to get real close. Again,
careful how you phrase that.
You'll have to find all of our conversations from Periscope or Facebook Live or Snapchat or Twitter or whatever I choose to do for each question as we drive all the way down to South Padre. Nicole Cash is going to be joining us. She's been doing a great job, as well as Jasmine Dozal. So without much further ado, Bubba Wilson, your talk today was the EAP, Emergency Action Plan, from a different point of view.
Right.
So give me an overview of what that was.
The different point of view aspect of it is if you look at it, in my mind, and I can't speak for anybody else, in my mind, the Emergency Action Plan, the EAP, has three parts. Okay, in Texas, we're required to have the first part, which is the what are we going to do if something happens, the pre. We got to have that plan in place. That's got to be posted. Okay, so what do we do if something bad occurs, we need to call EMS, for instance. Who's handling that? Who's making this phone call? Who's opening this gate? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? That's got to be written out for each sport. It's got to be planned. It's got to be planned, posted, and practiced. Okay, that's the first part. The second part of an EAP, in my mind, is the during. This cannot be planned. This is the fly by the seat of your pants. What am I going to do at this point in time with what's available to me informationally and care-wise? I've got a knee dislocation. What am I going to do? Well, in my opinion, we're going to check for a pulse. If they don't have a pulse, we're reducing it. If they do have a pulse, we're reducing it. But that's me, okay? How are we going to splint them? How are we getting them off the field? We know we're going by ambulance, so our emergency action plan's going. So I got coaches opening gates, kids flagging down the ambulance because they're never going to go the right entrance. All those things of that pre fall into the during as well. And then the third part, which is the different point of view aspect, is the after. And I'm going to say nobody, because in everybody I've talked to, nobody's had an after plan in place. And to me, the after plan is – they're all equally important. We need an after because – we've talked about this at length. If something catastrophic, or let's say not even catastrophic, if something happens and we activate EMS, should we not go back after the fact and troubleshoot that, have an after action or a meeting to say what went wrong, what went right, rather, what were our issues, where can we improve? And then we take it a step further and say, okay, let's say something catastrophic happened, C-spine injury, and they have a C4 fracture, just to throw a number out there of a vertebrae. Well, what do we need to do with their equipment? Okay, how are we going to handle that aspect of it? Or we used an AED in the course of doing CPR on someone. We need to lock that AED up. It needs to be secured until somebody that's been designated comes personally to me and says, I'm here for the AED. I hand it off to them. Okay, they're going to download that information. Who talks to the press? Who, an administrator needs to come talk to me face-to-face or whoever it is and say, hey, I'm sorry for your loss, or you did everything you can, or hey, great job. Okay, tell me that. Remember, we need to have an accounting of the events written up. Okay, who talks to the press? In my opinion, you need to have a psychological evaluation done. Whether it was a good outcome or a bad outcome, the next time I have to do that, can I function? It becomes a public safety issue in my mind. I don't know. Again, like I said up there, if somebody came and broke into my house, I can talk tough and trash all I want until it actually happens, and I don't know how I would respond when it did. Oh, I'm going to be fine. I can do this again. I don't know until it happens. So let's make sure that if you had to do this, the next time you have to do this, you can do that. And that's really the essence of the talk in a nutshell.
So more or less the same stuff we've kind of gone over in the,
right,
the previous episodes.
Just to a bigger audience now.
Got it.
A little more thought out, you know, because there's slides and I went through some of that. And, you know, in the during, we can't plan that. Hey, the kid's got a knee dislocation. He's in a mud puddle. Changes than if he's laying there on the gym floor, you know. And so you can't say, well, if A, then B. It may be if A, then F when it's all said and done. So, the B is fly by the seat of your pants. And I don't think anybody's going to argue that. The A's got to be done regardless if you want to or not. And the C's the thing that's overlooked that needs to be taken care of on the back end.
Okay, so while you were talking, one of the things I was thinking about, we did call 911 last year. We had the ambulance come out. They went to the wrong gate. Mm-hmm. They ended up having to drive around because we couldn't get that gate open. Like, I don't have a key to that gate.
Right.
So should I have signs posted on that gate with the GPS coordinates? Or because, you know, if it just says Pasadena High School, then how do they know specifically where to go, which street to take?
Right.
Because I need to reevaluate and make that.
A couple of things. I'm going to say, first off, you need to have keys to every gate that you're around. Okay, a lot of districts, it's one or two keys for every gate in the district. You can get in there.
Right.
Everybody's different. I get that. I don't think you should have to have 27 different gate keys, okay, for 24 different gates. But I think you should have a key for every gate that you are responsible for as far as a field for athletic purposes. I don't think GPS coordinates help them because they're probably not going to plug them in. I think the biggest thing would be is knowing those cross streets. Shaver and X, you know, and then having enough people to spread out to try to catch them, to point them in the direction where they need to go. Now, it's not going to work perfectly. It never works perfectly. When I was at Kingwood Park, we could tell them, go into this entrance off of this cross street, and it's going to say this on the building, and they would be on the other parking lot on the opposite end. But we planned for that. We sent kids and coaches that way to catch them. You know, some things you can plan all day long, and it still ain't going to work, you know. And we get that, but you plan for that. And then that's the after action. Well, okay, why did they not go here? Because they didn't. Oh, we didn't listen when they told us a cross street. Can't do anything about that. That's on them. But I think if, you know, cross street of this and this, they should be able to find that, you know. And then there should be enough people, you hope, because you can send kids, if it came to it, flag them to this guy, flag them to him. You know, you could have a human chain of people to get them there.
All right. So what are some of the responses you got? You got had a couple people talking to you out in the hallway after your talk.
Basically, that they agreed that nobody does the after. I think that's been universal. I gave this talk in January in front of 60, and when I asked all 60, not a single hand went up. And you could kind of see them all go, never thought about it. And I readily admit I've never thought about it until I dealt with what helped you guys with what y'all were going through. Mm-hmm. And you never thought about it.
Not at all.
And Bill's been there since, you know, the Big Bang happened, and he's never thought about it. And so, you know, and I don't fault anybody for that. It's just that's not, hey, everything's going to work. It's all going to be good. We don't think about that end result. You know, and it's funny because we think about, hey, you tore your ACL. You got to go get a doctor's visit. You're going to get an MRI. You're going to go to surgery. You need rehab. We don't have the rehab component of an emergency action plan.
Right.
And that's in essence what it is. Hey, you're going to get an MRI, and then you're good. No, we got a lot of work going on, you know, after surgery. So, and again, I don't fault anybody. I just think it's we've never really gone that far. And I guarantee you, you take it to your, you know, your school district administration and go, we never thought about that.
Now, one of the big things is you keep saying is, if I had to do it tomorrow, could I?
Right.
Right. So this past weekend, I was in San Francisco with my wife. We were eating at Miramar, which is like an iconic restaurant there in Half Moon Bay. So it's really beautiful. Overlooks the water.
Miramar is in like Top Gun Miramar?
I don't know. Sarah said that's the same thing, okay. But we didn't look it up.
I'm not a roadmap. I couldn't tell you. So anyway,
so I don't know. Track. Nicole can Google it while we're looking.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting with my back to the people and she's facing. So she said, Jeremy, I think there's something wrong over there. So I look over and there's a guy at the table. And then the two people that are with him are like standing up, like, looking a little lost. And so I walk over there. He's like, hey, I'm trained in CPR. Can I help? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. And I said, you know, I assume that he's choking because he's sitting at a restaurant.
Right.
He's like this.
Looking like a Smurf.
Right. And so I just, he's a big guy. So I just begin, like, get behind the chair and start doing abdominal. I say, hey, you call 911 and start doing abdominal thrusts.
Right.
And then about a minute later, he kind of like, and then, you know, wipes his mouth away. What happened?
I'm right.
Like, well, I don't know. And then
you just aspirated whatever it was, but yeah.
Well, then when EMS came here, you know, I was close enough to where I could hear, they said something about, have you ever had a seizure before? So I don't know if the guy had a seizure or if he was choking, but I know that he wasn't breathing. He couldn't respond to me.
Right.
But in the event of an emergency, I was able to step up. But
right.
It is over a year removed.
Right. Well, let's be honest is the wrong way, but let's think about it. You've had a lot of peer-to-peer and a lot of other counseling informally, mm-hmm. over that year, you know, that is, I think has been beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, and so yes, you can step up again. The point that we've talked about a lot, the point is, if it really happens to another one of your kids, mm-hmm. or anybody else, but because we know those kids so intimately, could you go help Johnny or Susie, who you've known since seventh grade, one day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade after, without making sure that mentally you're right. okay to do that?
Yeah, and then even sitting there at the table, like, as I, you know, it was very strange because I don't know why I expected, but I figured somebody, EMS or even somebody from the restaurant, would have come over and said, hey, thanks, or, right. or you know, hey, are you okay? Or, you know, hey, can I get your story? But no, the two other patrons from the restaurant, like, hey, did you help him? You know, great job. Good way to say that guy, right. whatever.
And the restaurant's just happy they didn't have to fill out paperwork.
Right.
You know,
I mean. Right. And so I'm just like sitting there just kind of dazed, I guess, for a minute while I'm eating, you know, just kind of like, what just happened?
Right.
You know, I just happened to be here from Houston. You know, I'm freaking 4-hour plane flight away, whatever it is, on my anniversary.
That explains your post, because I'm going, save a life. What are you talking about? So, yeah.
So you should have asked me.
Well, I meant to ask you about it and get sidetracked here when we work, but yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. And so it just, it's so strange, like, knowing that I wasn't frozen, but again, it's not the same situation like you're talking about. And I have also, you know, there's been a lot of action since that because, you know, we're working on doing stuff with Perry and that kind of thing, and you mm-hmm. know, seeing what we can do about the
right.
Critical incident stress management team, because we're moving forward. But you know, I think it's, how many people in there, did anybody have a after action plan?
I really didn't ask them to raise their hand, but nobody came out and said, I got one. You're lying, you don't have one.
Chris Shattuck probably does.
No, he doesn't. I've asked him. We've talked about it. So but yeah, but nobody has. And again, I don't blame anybody for not having it. I'd be shocked if somebody did.
Yeah.
Well, let me rephrase. I'd be shocked if somebody did and it was decent.
Yeah.
You know? Let's review. That's not an after-action plan. You know? So.
And then I kind of sent this forward to just say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And one of the things that I got back was, why would you need to take days off? You know, I was a nurse in the emergency room, and you know, you just accepted the fact that some people die. And I'm thinking this person doesn't need to be involved with this action plan at all, because right. she has no idea what we do.
Right.
We don't work in the emergency department. Mm-hmm. Death is not part of our daily or yearly, expectations.
It's not part of what we are trained to deal with.
Right.
Right. And again, I said, does a school nurse be involved in that? I'm like, no, unless they were there rendering care, they shouldn't have any part of the after action plan or any of that. Because, and again, my other point with this whole CISM, they don't understand how intimately we know these athletes. Right. We're with them day in and day out, 6 days a week if in their season, depending. We've known them for years. You roll up as an EMT paramedic onto a car crash and you're rendering aid, you take them to the hospital, you're done with them. The only way it really affects you is if you knew them, okay? Well, I know everybody I'm caring for. And if I'm playing, your team's playing me at home and it's your kid, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's a different animal altogether. So, you know, I understand what you're saying. Well, it's part of it. It's part of it in an emergency room or in a hospital environment that that's going to happen. Again, we don't plan for that here. We don't expect a healthy 16-year-old kid to drop, you know?
Not here.
That's not part of the equation.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
66? You bet.
Sure, okay? Why not?
Coming in motor vehicle accident, blah, 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 gunshot wound, and you're in the ER, different world, you know? And so, you know, why should you take days off? Because you feel you need those days off. Okay, I may say I don't need them and then go, I was wrong. After a couple of, I need to go,
yeah.
You know. But again, as I said, that's an individual thing. I think the district should support that. You should get your counseling, however many sessions it takes. And if you know that individual that's going through it and you got a free night, hey, Jeremy, I got your game tonight. Go home. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I would venture to say if your administration gets mad, shame on them, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that's just me.
And this also, it's not exactly the same, but a guy that I know called me and said, hey, how did you deal with this? I'm going through a similar situation, because he listened to the podcast, because I've been through it, and because we've been talking, so I've dealt with it. But he performed CPR on a lady and her that ended up dying, and her daughter is one of his student trainers. So the it doesn't go away for him.
No. And somebody asked me that in the hallway, and I didn't put it in my talk because we're dealing with an immediate athlete thing. But what if you do CPR on that parent? Again, in my opinion, that's through the course of your job duties. You should be getting the help. And especially when it's a little more intimate than that, it's one of your student trainer parents. That's like an athlete.
Yeah, because every day you're going to see that kid. Right. Every day she's going to ask,
why can you save her? And again, okay, let's get to cause of death because that helps answer some questions, mm-hmm. you know. It's like we tell people when we do CPR training, do something rather than nothing. The only person that cares about your hand placement is the person grading you to get your certification for your CPR. After that, if you're doing CPR and I'm over your shoulder grading you in real life, I'm a sorry SOB, you know?
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen. Go do what's right. Go
do something.
Do something better than nothing, you know? And I will say, you know, in all seriousness, right after that happened, I think a week or so later, we did a bunch of coaches for your district. And you're talking about an attentive bunch, you know? And so, unfortunately, sometimes it takes a catastrophe to open some eyes. And they were like, what do we need to do? How's our hand placement? Are my compression depths good? What about my, you know, my pace? Well, you're good.
Yeah, you know? And that I was there. There teaching CPR, and I don't know that was good, but I think it was because, you know, I remember saying, "Hey guys, you know what happened? This is who I am.
Exactly.
I was there. I was doing this."
Right, and we talked about agonal breathing, saying you may think they're breathing. Do CPR. Crap's not going to hurt them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but again, that may be therapeutic for you, and it probably was. It may not be therapeutic for Nicole. She may say, if you ever did, no, give me about a month before I want to go talk about and deal with this.
Right.
There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah, that's what we got to, you know, when we meet with Perry, we'll have a better plan.
Right. We'll get a better understanding of how this works. And everybody's different. You know, we all talk about the five stages of grief?
Yeah.
You know, I may blow through them in 50 minutes. It may be 50 days for you.
Right.
You know? That's fine, but are we making sure that everybody's okay after this incident? Not just the individual involved, but those that provided care. And that's really what it boils down to. There's a whole forgotten section, like the Lost Boys. They live over here. There's a whole forgotten section. We're not dealing with this. It needs to be taken care of.
All right. So have you seen anybody else moving towards having an after-action plan?
Visually, after my talk, yes. You know, the people I've talked to, they've kind of, you know, I haven't really, I'm one of those guys, I like to do my talk before I start giving away all the stuff, just because I want you to come listen. If I'm going to put the time in to do it, I want you to hear it and go, oh, just tell it to me. I think more and more people will call and ask and talk to you and me and Bill and some others and say, well, all right, what would you do? And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it needs to happen. We've got the kickstart of it happening. Let's continue and let's get everybody get that in place. Okay, I'd be willing to bet you that U of H doesn't have one. You know, and I didn't mention in there just for time. If I do CPR in the course of my job with Memorial Hermann, we have an employee assistance program that I can contact to help me. Okay, you don't have one right now.
Okay, no,
and it's not because the district's bad.
They just haven't thought of it
because the hospital deals with death every day. You don't. Your group should be healthy and nothing bad should happen in theory.
Should be, right.
But it's not that way. Okay? And again, they bring in grief counselors for the 800 kids that say they knew that individual that passed away, and those that provided care get nothing. And that's a travesty and a tragedy all around. But I don't fault anybody. I've never thought about, well, what if it goes bad? Or what if it goes good and I just ain't right?
Right.
You know? So, all right, now we've got it. Let's move forward. Let's make it right. Let's make it good. You know, so if something happens again, there's a system in place to handle this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. I'm excited about the upcoming changes. Hopefully that, you know, it'll be part of our legacy.
Right.
You know, this was because
out of something bad came something good.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
And it's not always about the kids, you know, in that. It's about what can we do to make everything better.
Right.
You know? And so, but it is about the kids because I know I'll be able to function next time.
Yeah.
You know, so, and if we do have to function, even if it's good, let's make sure we make it better if we need to.
Right.
You know, go over what happened, how it went, take care of those things.
You guys have any other thoughts or questions about emergency action plans?
It's not a real bubbly subject.
No.
You know, I mean, I said it in there and you can feel it. When I say, what if it goes bad and they die or they're paralyzed and everybody kind of goes, oh, God. And then the air goes out of the room. Same thing when I gave it in January. They're like, hey, yeah, I'm making fun of people. And, you know, and then it's like, oh, you know. So you got to throw some more humor in there to bring them back. But it's not a, it's not an easy thing to talk about, but it's an important thing to talk about. So,
yep. Even if I was even right now, if you were to ask me to kind of talk about details, it would still be,
I probably
wouldn't be able to get through without like pausing or tearing
up. We'll turn the recorder off in the truck on Thursday.
So. Nope, just let it go because it's going to help somebody else. Obviously.
You can edit it, yeah.
Right? It's going to help somebody else. So,
like Nixon's whiteout tapes. 20 minutes? No, it's six. Yeah.
So, all right, well, my friend Bubba Wilson, I'm excited about the things we're going to accomplish together. And the fun that who knows what'll happen on our way to South Padre or while we're there. So just
it'll
look
be an adventure.
It. Yeah. All right. That is the Sports Medicine Broadcast. This will be Bubba Wilson 2016 at the end of sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Bubba Wilson 2016. I have his handout there. Is that okay to?
Yes. Now that I've given it, yeah.
Okay, so I'll
Want it? Do you want me to email it to you, or did you steal it?
Yeah, Bob sent me everybody's.
Okay,
so yep, yeah. He's good about that. Bob
no,
likes
that's
to
fine.
Share.
I like I said, after the fact, I don't care. I mean, I'm giving the same talk at SWATA,
yeah.
And I'm hoping NATA has come out with something. But I've already got a phone call into the SWATA president to say what I'd like to do is get a Houston area of CISM going, and then take it to SWATA next year and teach a bunch of people and get it district wide, and then say, hey, we're better than y'all, you know. So. It's overdue. And again, I don't fault anybody, you know. Nobody did anything wrong. Oh, never thought about that.
Exactly.
You know, but that's – I think it's not only going, well, that's – we have a problem, now let's fix it. You know, it's like, well, we got a problem, but we don't care. You
right.
Know? So we're moving forward in the right direction.
I agree. All right, well, we're going to get ready for our next interview. Always a pleasure. 15th Annual Sports Medicine Update. Thanks to Bob Marley for putting it on and allowing us to come do this. That's a wrap.